welcome to Monday Night Fan Zone on Let's Talk Tottenham. And thought I was going to be talking about a defeat. Turns out we're talking about a win. Unbelievable. Nothing like a last minute goal, but we'll have two. That will be one wonderful. Joined by two great guests. Brian is joining us a bit later on, Brian Daigle. Brad, welcome back to the show. Been on plenty of times. How are you doing?
Oh, yeah. Regular. I'm doing fine, thank you. It's always Monday's always good to work from home.
Yeah,
so you can sort of weekend. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. And a warm welcome, first time on the show, Nige from Nige Pure Coys on YouTube. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, I'm doing good, mate. Thanks for having me on. I am Let's Talk Tottenham virgin, so
yeah. Absolutely fantastic having you on. And Nige actually messaged me on TikTok to ask if you could come on. If you want to come on and you haven't been on before, follow Nige's lead. Happy to have any Spurs fan on talking about Spurs. Brad, start with you. Unfortunately, we're not going to talk about the game first off because we have to talk racism again. It's come out that Wes Fotheringham, the Sheffield United goalkeeper, was subject to racist abuse. It's just this day and age is just absolutely pathetic that we're talking about racism again. Certainly when a lot, you know, doesn't make a difference that people bring their kids there. It wouldn't matter if it was just adults only or kids only or whatever. But I mean, just overshadowing the result, overshadowing football. And until the authorities do something about it, they can do all of their rainbow laces and all of these campaigns. Until they do something, there's cameras all over these grounds. Surely they can pick out, you know, they did it with Chelsea when it was against Raheem Sterling. But until they do stuff like this, it's just going to carry on and on and on and on. And yeah, no one deserves that. It's just a disgrace that in this day and age we talk about racism again.
Yeah, I think luckily it's obviously going to be a minority, which yeah. I think, and I guess if you've, you know, if you've got 17,500 people behind a goalkeeper, you're going to have a certain percentage of that that are going to be racist or say racist, or not so much even racist, or just say racist things without thinking that they are racist. Hmm. You know, but it's still no excuse for it. And yeah, I've been known to abuse players, not badly, you know, but because I didn't like them, not because of what colour they were or whatever. You know, it was just I didn't like them for what they, you know, what they were doing on the pitch sort of thing, you know, like all of us. Yeah, you know, we've all done it, but it's just I've never understood racism anyway. I've never really got my head around it. That, you know, you can hate someone for whatever colour or religion or whatever they might be, whatever their views, you just judge them as a person. If they're a nasty person, they're a nasty person, you know. Yeah. But yeah, it's bad. But I guess, sadly, I think, with all the stuff that was going on in the game, and yeah, he was, yeah, by all means, have a go at him for time wasting, because he was time wasting. It was appalling. But when you bring race into it, I guess that many people there with what he was doing, you're probably going to have it happen. I'm not excusing it, and it's bad, but it's probably going to happen. And hopefully, they'll get the person that didn't and just ban them for life. I mean, no matter what football club they support, you know, ban them for life. It's.
Well, I mean, Nige, the guy who did it to Raheem Sterling when he was at Man City, when he was playing at Chelsea, got fired from his job. So it needs some kind of deterrent like that. Not just, oh, you can't go to football matches anymore. Just something that's going to affect your life really negatively. And they must be able to pinpoint these people when there's cameras everywhere at these places.
Absolutely. I just think that it's still a little bit of a lad culture, isn't it? When you go to a football ground, you've had a few beers and things get said, like I say, like Brad said, it's just not on, and it's a little bit embarrassing as a Spurs fan. So hopefully they can catch whoever did it and ban them for life and whatever else they do.
It needs some deterrent, otherwise it's just ridiculous. But hopefully Wes Fotheringham is all right and hasn't taken it to heart. It's just idiots who just...
Well, hopefully he's got his gloves back on now, so...
Yeah. there was a tweet late last night that said he's just left the stadium.
But yeah, but we'll get into the time wasting a bit later on. But thanks to everybody for watching and listening. If you're listening on a podcast, please hit the like if you're watching this live, and if you're watching the replay, please hit the like, subscribe if you haven't done so already. hit the notification bell. All these guys have channels as well. And Brian, who comes on later, they're in the description, and they'll let you know where that you can find them. But we'll start with you, Nige. Nothing like a last-minute goal. Let's have a two for the price of one. Unbelievable. I didn't see the game. We were, me and my girlfriend were out walking the dog. Sat down, 90+7 minutes, saw it 1-0 down with 20-odd shots. Thought, I'll hit it again. Got back. Her dad had got final score on, I think it was. And then I saw that we were second on 13 points, swearing blind that we were on 10 before the start of the game. And thought we must. I didn't expect to go online and see that we had won. I thought it was going to be some mistake. But, yeah, I couldn't believe it. 90+8, 90+10. And there was still time for sending off as well. But there's nothing better than a last-minute winner.
No, it's. I mean, I said before the game, I watched so many streams, and I was going on with a lot of them. That's like 3-0, 4-0, 5-0. I thought we'd win 3-0. I thought it'd be pretty comfortable. But for me, that was even better than a 3-0 win. 2-0 up at halftime, coasting, second gear. To be 1-0 down going into, and I must admit, I was watching it on a stream, and 97 minutes, I'm like, we're not getting anything out of this. And I was giving Richarlison some stick as well. And then, yeah, he pops up with a great header. Yeah. And then Kulu gets a winner. It was just, I mean, it was brilliant. And the thing I like most about it is when Kulu got the winner, the whole bench were on the pitch as well. Vicario ran the length of the pitch to celebrate. Yeah. It just shows how together the team is now, which we haven't had for so long.
Yeah, absolutely. And Mark Cousins in the chat. How you doing, Mark? Good evening, Mark. Chris, Brad and I. Saturday was okay. Helped the beer go down. I bet it did. But Brad, you were at the game. My dad was at the game as well. Said the atmosphere right at the end was unbelievable. You have to feel sorry, but then also not sorry for the people who missed it because they decided to go home early. I went home early from one game once. It was a friendly and missed an overhead kick goal. Never leave early again. Yeah, what was it like at the ground?
The funny thing was the Man United game, we were all impressed how Tottenham played at Brentford. So the Man United game, we were reasonably confident that we could get a result. And we got the win, and it was a good win. I think the expectation in this game, so first game I can remember where myself and everyone in the ground, I think, this could be great, this. You know, win this, no problems. Yeah, not even going to worry about it. Because being a Tottenham supporter, as we all know, you always think it's going to bite you in the bum one day, you know? But I thought, no, this is all different now. This is all different. And the funny thing was I think the first half was where we should have won the game. I think if we'd have won the game then, got the goal, got the second goal, whatever it might be, then it would have been no problem. But I think as the game went on, certainly me was thinking, oh no, is this typical Tottenham again? Is this, they're going to do it to me again sort of thing. And then Sheffield United actually started to get in the game a little bit more. And then the time wasting was getting everybody down. Match of the day didn't really give it justice. No. There should have been about 6 or 7 minutes injury time at the end of the first half. And he gave us 4. And it's like, what the? You know. So I thought, you know what? He might give us a little bit extra in the second half. And I thought it might be 10 minutes. And when I saw 12, I thought, wow. But the 97,
it showed on Match of the Day as well. Showed on Match of the Day when the 12 went up, you could hear the crowd noise as well, cheering.
So. Well, at 97 minutes, I'm thinking, oh, Tottenham again, they've let me down. Just when you think you know, it's all changed, it's all let me down. And then suddenly I had a bit of an epiphany. I thought, no, actually, a minute. No, prove me wrong. Maybe it's going to be different this time, you know. And within 3 minutes, you know, I got my answer. And, yeah, Richarlison came on. And, yeah, you're right, Nige. He had the header that went over the bar that you should have done better with. I think he miscontrolled the ball at one stage. But the thing was that Sheffield United are quite a tall team and we weren't having any effect on the corners. So when Richarlison came on, it gave us a little bit extra in that department. And he got the goal, and it was a beautifully headed goal. I mean, you've seen it on TV. He made the run. Escaped his defender. Romero just stood there and so the guy couldn't get around him and got the goal. And then the funny thing about that was Sheffield United had this low block the whole game that we find it very difficult to get through. But the winning goal, we literally, once we got that ball, once, and it's all down to our pressing. We pressed and pressed and pressed and they lost it. And we literally the goal was simple. We just went pass, 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 goal. And it was, you know, after all that time, after 98, 99, 100 minutes, it was actually, and the other thing I did realize, I did think was special about that goal was Kulusevski used his right foot.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even clock that.
Yeah.
He's been doing that a little bit recently, hasn't he? Going on the outside and trying to cross it with his right, not just cutting in.
I will make an admission here on air. I didn't know who got, I didn't know who got that goal. I really didn't know. It was just a blur, just white shirts, and it went in, and it almost went in slow motion, and we're all celebrating. But because of VAR these days, I'm looking at the linesman now, he's got his flag up, you know, and I'm looking at the referee. Is he going straight to the center? Is he doing this on his ear? You know, because I couldn't see any reason why the goal would be disallowed. But that ruins the celebration for me. I'm celebrating, but it was as I said, almost like a relief that we got the points. So I thought, you know, this is a game that we had to win because we're expected to win it. And then if you look at our progress up to now, we've probably got the points we should have got. Brentford away, I think, was a good point. Man United at home, I probably would have accepted a point in that game before the season, but we got the win. But Bournemouth, Burnley and now Sheffield United were games that, you know, we've got to win. We should win, you know. And if it's a new Spurs, because now we've got the Arsenal away, Liverpool home.
Yeah, we'll be talking about that a bit later on.
Yeah. But what I was going to say is the thing about the game, the time wasting, the referee just didn't seem to have a clue what was going on.
We're talking about him as well a bit later on.
Yeah, he bizarre. And as I said, when 12 minutes came out, that was two more minutes than I thought. Hmm. I didn't even know the player had been sent off until I watched Match of the Day. So you know, so it's crazy. Yeah,
that's
it's
because
crazy.
You were still in your out-of-body experience. And yeah, it was. Goal.
And then, of course, the crowd after that. Also, don't forget, Johnson had that goal, didn't he? Brendan Johnson had a really...
I mean, he took that brilliantly well, didn't he, Nige? Unfortunately, half a yard offside, which was the correct...
It was a good finish.
I think he looked offside, and the guy behind me, I couldn't see it, was going, oh, he's offside, you can see he's offside, miles offside. And I thought, yeah, he probably was. And then when I watched it on Match of the Day, he was only just offside. And again, it's down to the lines... In the olden days, you'd have been level with the player and it would have been given, you know. So, but
a lovely touch to bring that down and then sat the keeper down, wait for the keeper to sit down and then, in. But I mean, Nige, is it how important could losing and then winning be for us? We've done it a few times. We were behind against Brentford, didn't get the win, but got the draw. Burnley were losing and then won fairly comfortably. But how important could this be where we were losing essentially after the game had finished, after 90 minutes, and then we've come back to not draw the game, but to win the game from a position where last season that would have been a loss, no questions about it.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather we didn't make a habit of it and do it every week. But it shows we've got some character now, doesn't it? I mean... Yeah, I mean, like you say, we went behind against Burnley, went behind against Brentford, and we went behind against Sheffield United. We've come back every game. So, fingers crossed, it's a good sign. But again, like I said, I'd like to go in front in a few games and stay in front.
Yeah. Well, I think the first half, I think we didn't... He couldn't really pinpoint any chances that you've got to score. The goalkeeper made some decent saves, but the saves that you probably should have made... I think the only clear-cut chance was probably Pursuma when he made that really good run. But I don't think any of the other chances were like clear-cut. And I think and Sheffield United had, three shots on target and one of them was the goal. So, you know, that's how football goes. But we've got to be a little bit more clinical. And I think we tend to start a little bit slow in the first half. I think we should try and start a little bit better in the first half. But, hey, look. Like, I'm not complaining, don't get me wrong. And there were, what you said earlier, Chris, there were people leaving.
Yeah, I've never understood. I can understand if you're 4-0 down with a minute left, but not when there's one goal in it. And let's be honest, we were on, certainly in terms of possession and chances, we were massively on top in this game. 26 shots to 7, I think it was in total in the end. But
I don't feel sorry for them, Chris. Do not feel sorry for them.
one bit. I've never understood that. I did it once when I was a kid, like I say, in a friendly, and never, ever again. But, I mean, the togetherness that you mentioned there, Nige, we saw what happened at the end and the second goal, everyone's celebrating. But it's come back to how I felt under the Poch regime, certainly when it was going well, that if we're 1-0 down or losing or drawing, I always feel that we've got a chance. We're going to get a chance at the end of the game. Last season, when we went 1-0 down, well, that's game over. We might get a draw. Whereas now, completely flipped round, and I'm amazed how Postecoglou has done that in less than half a dozen games. But I feel now that we're going to be scary for any other teams if we can keep everybody fit, that we've got goals in us and we can score goals at the end.
Yeah, that's why I can't understand why people would leave, because even watching the game, there was not 1 minute I thought we could score at any minute, because we were literally camped in their half. They had all they had was the goal kick, went up to McBurney that he won every time, and they might get something from that. But otherwise, we just controlled the game. And I thought, okay, we don't have anything clear cut, but I didn't see us not scoring.
No.
So,
but yeah, I mean, we'll move on. We've mentioned them before. Let's mention them again. Firstly, Richarlison, Brad. The week that he's had to come out and play, a lot of players would have said, oh, I'm not in the right frame of mind, and would have stayed at home. Not only that, he's come out. We'll come to Kulu in a bit. But Richarlison has come out and he's scored a goal. Like you said, made a difference in the 20-minute cameo he had. Brilliant header. I think he was possibly stretching for that one that you alluded to earlier, the one that happened before. But really pleased with Richarlison with the week he's had. And you never know, you know, strikers go through periods where they can't score, and then all of a sudden one flies off their backside and they're like a different player. He could be a different player now with that confidence. I always felt that he just needed a goal and then his confidence would come. But yeah, I'll be really pleased with Richarlison after the week.
First of all, I mean, you know as well as I do that we're very big on mental health and that sort of thing. So full marks to him for actually coming out and saying that.
Yeah.
Because he's obviously well-liked at the club. And it's shown by the players have all got behind him. And it was just so lovely to see that bit. Again, I didn't – it wasn't until a match of the day. I must have been in a daze that Sonny's pushing him in front as they're going – you know,
yeah, I mean, that was fantastic, wasn't it? And then pointing to them, everyone hugging him. And
yeah, and that was just really, really good. And Four marks for. I mean, this is where what I really do like about Ange Postecoglou. He took Sonny off and put Richarlison on. You know, he doesn't care about that's our captain or that's our main man. Blah blah blah. No. I'm going to make this tactical decision. And the funny thing was, I don't know if there's a rule where if you have to have have your kit on when you're on the bench, because when they all ran on to celebrate, Son was in his full kit. It's like it's hilarious. Did you say? The whole bench ran on, the goalkeeper ran on.
I thought you've got to cover it. Try stopping him in a last-minute goal like that.
It's just brilliant. He was at the Man United game. Like the Man United game, we celebrated like we'd won the cup. It was brilliant. And I think the two reasons I love doing that, one, because it's fun, but two, because it will piss off all the other supporters. And I've already seen things on Twitter going, oh, look at them. Celebrating a victory against Sheffield United. I thought, nah, sod you. Yeah, enjoy the moment. That's what football's there for.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's not celebrating a victory against Sheffield United, is it, Nigel? It's celebrating the way that we've won and how we've come from the brink of defeat.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've seen lots of people on Twitter saying it was only Sheffield United, but like you say, it wasn't the point that it was Sheffield United. It was the way we won the game. And Richarlison, fair play to him. I've probably been his biggest critic. I don't think he's great, but great goal, and he got the assist. I mean, he still can't stop a bag of cement, but he's good in the air. And the thing I've noticed is that Perisic links up with him well. I mean, there's a waste of time having Perisic on crossing the ball if Sonny's in the middle. So for me, it's almost like a good double team substitution to make 70 minutes to get Perisic and Richarlison on, because we wasn't getting any joy like putting the ball in otherwise.
No. As I said, they defended pretty resolutely.
Yeah.
Quickly for Mark Cousins. After their tactics Saturday, I hope we go their last game of the season, time waste, win 1-0 and send them down. I hope
it's the funny thing was, after the goal, I mean, you probably saw Basuma on the ground, you know, with cramp. Madison was down as well with cramp. No, at the time, I thought they just did it as a joke. Maybe it actually was cramp, but I just thought it was actually quite funny that... that they were down with cramp when we won 2-1 up, sort of thing. And the funny thing was, well, after the game restarted, the ball came to where I sit in the West Stand lower. The ball sort of came over to where we was. The Sheffield United player, he's rushing up and trying to get off the ball, boys. You know, I'm actually shouting. He probably heard me. I'm saying, "Oh yeah, oh, we're not time wasting now, are we, mate?" You know, sort of thing. You know, so yeah, it was great. It's great to see. And I know that teams that come to say Tottenham or to any attacking team, any decent team, are going to be defensive and that. But that was just out of hand on Saturday, really out of hand. And I just don't like teams like that.
No. Defend it's, by it's all up to, we'll talk about the referee in a bit, but it's up to the referee to stop that, isn't it? If you're cheating at something and no one's stopping you, you're going to carry on because you're getting away with it. It's up to the powers that be, the authorities, whatever you want to call the referee. I'm sure there'll be some other choice words that are sent his way. But it's up to them to stop that at source. And it never, ever happens. The amount of Spurs games I've been to where the referee has just allowed time wasting and then the first booking for time waste is on 82 minutes or something like that. But it didn't matter in the end. And you know, the negativity has cost them in the end. But in terms of Richarlison, Brad, like Nigel's alluded to with Perisic coming on as well, maybe we have, certainly going forward anyway, a bit more strength in depth that maybe even I kind of realise. You know, we've obviously lost Kane, best striker in the world. You ain't going to replace him even if you stick Haaland in because he's a different type of player. But we've got Son up top, who's small, but he's quick. Now we've got Richarlison, who can head the ball and good in the air. You've got someone who can thread the balls through in Maddison. You've got someone who can cross the ball with Perisic to come on. So maybe going forward, we have a little bit more strength in depth than...
I think we do. Hopefully, an informed Richarlison, or is it Richarlison? I never know which one it is. An informed Richarlison is going to be a really decent player to have because it gives you that option to change it around. A little Man of Solomon had a fairly decent game on Saturday as well.
He had a good shot, didn't he, in the first half? You'd expect Foderingham to save it, but
he had a pretty decent game. And Brendan Johnson looked like he could be quite useful as well when he came on. And also, you got Kulusevski, you got Son. So you've got a bit of depth there, attacking-wise, front three. I mean, Maddison's attacking as well. Maddison, Basuma are probably the two key positions because we haven't got... I don't think the cover is the same quality for those two players. But anywhere else on the pitch, and also defensively with the centre backs, we're in a bit of trouble if one of the centre backs goes missing. But I think we've reasonably covered on the pitch. I mean, Perry had a really good game at right back. Perry, Poro. So you got Poro there, and you've got obviously Emerson who came on and did a reasonably good job when he came on. You got.
He should be buzzing as well because he's just had a kid as well. So he should be, I mean, he might be quite tired in the next few months, but he should be buzzing.
You've got a bit of depth there. I think, apart from the obvious area of Basuma and Maddison. But then again, I think every team in the league have probably got their equivalent of Basuma and Maddison that if he goes injured, they're stuffed. So you know, unless you're Man City and you've got, you know, a complete second 11 that can... come on at a minute's notice. But yeah, I think we're developing depth. We're not so much that, not only depth, but as you said, a variety as well. I think we've got there. There's a lot of variety now. So,
What do you think, Nigel, about the squad depth? I do worry, like Brad says, if Romero or Van de Ven get injured for any long term, who knows who comes in there? Maddison, if he gets injured, I'm not sure about that. And Saar and Basuma off to the African Cup of Nations. Saar at Senegal, I'd expect him to be there for quite a while. But if we can keep them fit, no European football out of the League Cup now, unfortunately, which I'm still quite annoyed about. But if we can keep them fit, we've got a real good first 11, I think. What do you think of the squad depth? And do you think we'll boost the stuff up in January?
I hope so, yeah. I think we've got a good maybe 14. I look at our first 11 and you look at Johnson, you look at Richarlison if he's on the bench, Perisic, and of course we've got Bentancur to come back. So I think we've got the nucleus of a good squad. Like you say, it's the centre-half is the big one, and Maddison for me. I think we could get away with it with the odd game with Basuma. Not saying he's not class, but I think Skip could come in or Højbjerg could come in for one or two games. But I think if Maddison's out, we lose our creativity in centre-halves. We are in big trouble if Dier comes back in.
I'm not sure Dier will. I think maybe Phillips is ahead of him now. And I mean, Dorrington's going to be a quality player, but it's probably too early for him. So I would unfortunately think it's probably going to be. We've got an Arsenal fan in the house, Anthony Herbert. How are you doing? Big up, Chris. You watching Arsenal winning this Sunday? Oh, I don't think I am. I don't know who your ladies are playing, but they might win on Sunday. It's going to be a cracking game. And it'd be interesting to know what you think, Anthony. Last season, we were terrible. So you must have been fancying your chances when we came to town. This season, certainly with this result and free scoring. Are you worried about Tottenham? Are you confident that you'll win? It'd be interesting to see what you think about that. But we'll be talking about the Spurs-Arsenal game a bit later on. But come to you, Nigel Kulu. He's gone under the radar a little bit. He was also one who was questioned and needs to come out and everything like that. Scored a couple of goals, going a bit under the radar, like Brad said, which I really didn't notice as well. Right foot shot, which maybe last season wouldn't have even been in his mindset. Maybe that the Solomon coming in, Son, Charleston, all Johnson. Well, I need to back my ideas up if I want to stay in this team. Yeah. But that can only be a good thing, the competition. But what have you made of Kulu so far this season?
I love Kulu. When he first came in, that first 6 months, he was unplayable at times. And obviously last season, he was really poor, which he was. But then most of the team were. so I don't think really you can label him too much at that. And he did have a hamstring injury as well. But yeah, this season, he started a bit slow, but I think you're right. I think the fact that we brought Johnson in, I think maybe might make him think, oh, I need to put my ideas up. I need to start playing a bit better. His final ball is a bit disappointing sometimes. He just cut in on his left and his crosses seem to go out of play. But I love him. I love the way he plays. He reminds me a lot of Chris Waddle. He looks really languid. He looks like he can't be bothered. Then suddenly he gets on the ball. Obviously, he's not in Waddle's class, but I think as a player now, I just think he needs hopefully a bit more time. He's a bit of a confidence player, I think. So hopefully that goal to doing the world of good.
We seem to forget how young he is as well.
Yeah, 22, 23.
It's like that's just quite young, you know. To be fair, last season, sometimes before he got injured or when he was injured, it was like, oh my God, what are we going to do? We were literally relying on him last season. Yeah. Be there, and it's the guy's 22, 23. You know, players that age have dipped in form. Yeah. It's just what happens. And yeah, again, he covers so much ground. He's very aggressive as well. Wins the ball back, but he's only got one flaw, which I'm sure Nige, you and Chris accept, is that. Yeah, he wants to get on his left foot all the time. That's the only problem he has.
What I would say about that is if he's confident hitting shots from outside the area with his right foot, and he has tried going on the outside, crossing with his right foot, if he can use his right foot, which you have to assume with that goal that he's been practicing with his right foot in training. If he can do that and he can cut inside, which he's going to do anyway, but he can get some consistency and end product with his right foot, I mean, how do you defend against him? He's going to be a real weapon for us.
I agree. And he's Sweden's main man as well. So I just think just let him do his thing. And I think a lot of fans will be surprised by him this season. Yeah. He's my favourite player. So
I really like him. Last season, like you said, Nige, most of the team are terrible. If you're an attacking player and your manager is in a philosophy of just defend, you're probably not going to get on the ball and have much of an end product because you're not asked to attack. Whereas under Ange, it's attack, 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 which is obviously going to suit him a lot better than Conte's system.
And he gives us options as well. He doesn't only play on the right. He can come into the middle. Yeah. And he is very two-footed, as he showed with his goal. So I just think, just let him do his thing. I think he'd be one of our main players this year.
Yeah, I mean, Brad, I was calling for him to be taken out of the team early on. I think it was before the Bournemouth game, and then he ended up scoring in that one. But I thought he hasn't really been doing it. You've got to give him some kind of incentive. Put Solomon in. Okay, I'm out of the team. I've got to get back into the team. And just quickly, Mark Cousins on the defence. I reckon Ledley King is ahead of Dyer. I wouldn't be upset with that either. But since that Bournemouth game, he's I've been impressed with starting to see the Kulu we saw in the first 6 months or so.
Yeah, no, I think I wasn't like you wanting to see him replace, but I, To be honest, the first two or three games, I think the front three didn't really click anyway. So I think, you know, it wasn't just Kulusevski. But I was surprised a couple of times where he's brought, say, Perisic or Sonoma on, and Kulusevski still stayed on. I thought it was like a light-for-light replacement. But, if we can get him anywhere near the form he had when he first joined us, you know, we got a damn good player there. And again, you know, you got options there. He can come into the middle. Maybe he could fill a Maddison role if he needed to. You know, there's a lot of talent there. And again, he's only 22, 23, very fit. Apparently, he covers the most ground in the Premiership or something. He's one of those sort of players. Yeah. The problem is we tend to watch two or three games and see a player not be brilliant and think, oh, you know, drop him. You know, but you know, players take time to get into the swing of things. You know, it's you know, it might take five or six games, and then you're into that rhythm again. You know, I think we tend to forget that.
I mean, are you both surprised that we've had, like, I don't know, 3 years of defensive football, and then it's taken this quickly for Ange to change it completely around? Ian Meth, who on Twitter, Brad, I'm sure you know, I'm not sure you know, was calling for Postecoglou ever since we wanted a new manager, and everything he said that would happen has happened. He admits, though, he is very surprised it's happened so quickly. I'm amazed that it's happened so quickly. I remember in Pochettino's first year, it was very inconsistent. Second year, slightly inconsistent. Third year, when we hit our stride, was Ange has changed it. I mean, to me, Nige, that says that the players wanted to play attacking football. Now they're being allowed to play attacking football. Well, I'm going to take that in and run with it all day long. You won't have to convince me. But what do you think has been the key for this change in mentality and it working, seemingly, at the moment anyway?
Well,
less than three games.
Yeah, I think even Sonny said it, though, didn't he? When he was interviewed, it's like, we love playing this way. And who wouldn't? I mean, who wants to play negative defensive football and just bore the hell out of everyone? So, I mean, I must admit, I thought it would take a little bit longer. Watching the preseason, of course, we had a preseason game cancelled, and I thought we might be a little bit behind everyone else. But yeah, it's been a great start, but we haven't really played anyone of any significance yet. I know we played United, but they're pretty poor this season. So let's just see how the next couple of games go.
These are kind of games that we were struggling with, not necessarily against that opposition, but against teams around those areas that we've played against where we were struggling. But I mean, Brad, potentially a silly question now, because if you take Harry Kane out of any team, you're going to be weaker. But has it helped, do you think, in terms of everyone having to step up, that Kane has left? Whereas last season, was it a case of, oh, Kane will get us out of trouble?
I remember saying some months ago where the question was, would you rather us get a decent centre-back in and Harry Kane go, or Harry Kane stay and not have a centre-back? And my answer was, if Harry Kane goes, I think we've got enough attacking players in the team that can make up for his goals as cumulatively. And maybe that's what we're seeing now, the fact that they're not relying on him so much. No, don't get me wrong. Harry Kane is one of the best strikers, if not the best in the world, and any team would be better with him. But it's obviously given them the chance now that we have to score from other areas. And, you know, bringing players in like Maddison, who scored goals for Leicester, it reminds me of the Posh days when we had Dele Alli, Eriksen and Son all chipping in with 20 goals one season, along with Kane. So, I think, and to be fair, if you look at Harry Kane, he scores 30 goals. So you're going to be happy with a player that gets 20. So you only need a player that's like two-thirds as good as Harry Kane to get, you know, to sort of compensate for it. But I'm surprised. It has surprised me how well we've done, I must admit. I mean, my initial prediction, and maybe it still is mid-table. It's great that we've won the games that we should have won, but the caveat is they are games that we should have won. So let's see how we go in the next couple of games, because I still have a fear that a team that's really, really attacking will really test us. Because
You've got less than a week to find out if that's true or not.
Yeah, exactly. Vandermeer and Romero have played absolutely brilliantly. And Handel, I mean, I think Brentford tested us a bit on the break and that. and they handled that pretty well. So, yeah, I think we've got the test to come. Arsenal, obviously, Liverpool, you know, so let's see how we go now. I'm not saying I'm not confident, but it's going to be definitely the time that we will find out how far we have come. But I'm incredibly impressed. And I know that, I mean, Postecoglou himself has said that it's the second season that it all clicks.
Yeah.
It takes literally half.
I mean, if it's going to click in the second season, it hasn't already, Nige. I can't wait until the second season if we carry on like this. But in terms of Kane leaving, do you feel it's had a positive impact in that other people have had to step up? And now we've not become, we weren't a one-man team, but we were almost like a one-man team. Oh, Harry Kane will sort it out for us. Whereas now it's, collectively, we have to sort it out.
We have been heavily reliant on him for years, and rightly so, because he's the best striker in the world. But I was one of the fans who was like, if we can get 100 million, let's sell him, let's start fresh. And I love the way it's going. I can't, you know, Harry who? I mean, you know, Sonny's scoring, Madison scoring, Kulu scoring.
And now with Charleston.
Richarlison scored with his feet, but he's scoring with his head. So. But no, everyone's scoring. So there's what's not to like. And Romero scoring. And even the fullbacks that apparently in the summer we were told couldn't play as fullback because they were wing backs. I mean, they're doing a great job as well. Yeah. So it's all going well at the moment.
It'd be interesting where we are at the January window, because Postecoglou did say he reckons it's going to take another two windows to get the team that he feels to be able to challenge. So you've got January window. And I think this window we are preoccupied for our own fault, really, with getting rid of players. And I think I think they're all on loan. The players, even then, we put them on loan for the season. So January, hopefully, we should have a situation where we can bring in some players. And then again, you've got the same thing the following summer where we've still got to get rid of players. So, it'd be interesting. And as I say, Postecoglou, and that's what I think, you know, what's really good about him is the fact that he's pretty calm about this. He's sort of saying, well, yeah, you know, it's going well, but there's still lots of work to do. You know,
and that's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, and it just keeps the lid on things. But at the same time, and I think in his press, I can't say it word for word. They asked about the fans being excited and celebrating. He said, "No, yeah, brilliant, do it. What else? What's football for? That's what you do, celebrate." And he made the point: it's up to us to fulfil their expectations, because that was what the question was. He turned the question around about are fans' expectations too high. He said, No. Let them expect what they want. It's up to us to fulfil those expectations. So, yeah, it's very refreshing to hear that. Whereas Conte was very dismissive of the fans. You know, oh, they've got to be realistic, sort of thing. But, yeah, and I've said this on many, many, many shows. Because I lived in Australia, I've obviously got a lot of Australian friends. People do not realise how big he is in Australia. He is massive over there. I've got two mates who are following Tottenham this season because of Postecoglou. I speak to my mum in Adelaide in Australia every Sunday morning. She says, it's on the news. The Spurs results are on the news. You know, we're not talking about a sports show, on the actual news, you know. So he is absolutely massive in Australia. And obviously Celtic, you know, you've heard what Celtic fans have said to him. And what you said about EMF is true. Yeah. But there's also a guy, Paul Beattie, you know.
Bobby Kay told me about that on Friday's show.
Hippie Hotspur. Great lad. I'll say not a lad anymore, but yeah. And he was going on about Postecoglou as well before we got him. So yeah, it's and obviously he's in Australia and knew what this guy is capable of. So yeah, it's looking good. It's looking good.
Yeah, before we move on to the negative parts, which is the referee and the time wasting, Nige, any other good performances, notable performances in the game? We're an actual team at the moment, it looks like. So generally, if we play well, the team has played well. But any notable performances that you want to give a shout out to?
Not really. I just think everyone was a solid 7. there wasn't anyone that really stood out to me. Bissouma, I thought, grew into the game. I thought he started a bit slow. And, the first, like, quarter of an hour, I was like, you don't want to run. He's just standing around. But he just grew into the game. When we went 1-0 down, he was one of the ones who took the game by the scruff of the neck and started driving us forward. But yeah, I just think everyone had a solid seven. I just think it was a good, solid performance.
Yeah. And what about you, Brad? Actually, at the game, anyone stand out to you other than the players?
No, I think I agree with Nige there. It struck me as being a typical game after an international break, that you lose that momentum and you have to get yourself back into the game. And yeah, it wasn't real. I thought Solomon actually had a decent game. I thought he showed a lot more than he has in previous games, what he can be capable of. I would also like to, and this is not football related, I'd like to give the people who run the ground, I've got good thing to say about them and a bad thing to say about them. When I walked into the ground, the first good thing is that the ground opens at 1 o'clock. Okay. They let you into the concourse area behind the south stand at 12 o'clock, where they've got food and drink and whatever. So you could watch the Wolves Liverpool game on the big screen. So 4 marks for that. Brilliant. And then when I walked into the ground, they were playing Love Will Tear Us Apart by Joy Division. And that's a great song anyway. And it wasn't only in the south stand. It was when I went up to the west stand, it was being played there. So the music would obviously be playing all the way around the ground, the same song. They were playing Simon and Garfunkel, Mrs. Robinson, ABBA, Gibby a Man Till Midnight, Casey and the Sunshine Band, Give It Up, Tequila, Do What Diddy. I can't think of any more songs. And it suddenly got me. They're playing the actual songs that the fans sing about the players. And I thought that was a stroke of genius. I really did. So, and I found out later that Mrs. Robinson is to you, Man of Solomon. So that's where that one comes from. Do What Diddy is about Rickarlison. I don't know how the words of that one go. A song about Rickarlison called Do What Diddy. Obviously, give me a ginger from Sweden, you know, Kulicheski. Give It Up. Was it Madison? I think it's a Madison song. You know, Tequila was Pursuma, isn't it? You know, so that's, and of course, they obviously played Angels as well. And at the end of the game, where they're doing the song La 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 La, which everyone was singing along to, and then they played the Angels song, Robbie Williams song. But when it got to the chorus, I'm Loving Angel, instead, they turned it down and the crowd sang the chorus. So it's just really an absolutely amazing atmosphere. Mm. So 4 marks to the ground, or whoever's behind that for doing that, absolutely brilliant. We went out into the concourse. You were there at the Man United game. It was exactly the same. Everyone singing along, blah, blah, blah. Went out into the concourse to watch Newcastle-Brentford game. Yeah, and it's a nice balmy evening. It wasn't late. It was only, 6:30, whatever it was. 23, 24 minutes into the game, shoom, screen goes down. Yeah. Right, guys, time to go now. You know, and I thought, what? You know? Yeah. And whether it's the council, they've got laws with the council, I don't know, but that's a bad thing. I thought was that it's like, well, you know, you could have more people here watching the game, spending more money on food and drink. It's on a balmy Saturday summer evening, so you're not going to get many evenings like that because when we get to the winter, it's not late. You're not talking about 11 o'clock at night.
No, I mean, probably is the council though, isn't it?
Because
but you know. We won, Brad, so, you know.
We won.
13 points, Brad. Calm down.
it didn't take anything off the actual game and the actual result. Yeah. But
right, let's go on to the frustrating part. And again, it's not that frustrating because we won, but Nige, 12 minutes of injury time, Sheffield United time waste. My dad said the time wasting was ridiculous, echoing what Brad said earlier on. I didn't see any of it at all. Match of the day, Danny Murphy might as well have not been on there. Absolutely pointless. Just saying he agreed with some of what Paul Heckingbottom was saying and didn't agree with others. We'll just expand on that. Paul Heckingbottom saying they have to time waste because they have to see if we're going to close them down or not at goal kicks. I mean, like Shearer said, you know that after a second. it's just time wasting and it's bitten them on the backside with 12 minutes injury time sitting back. So you don't have too much sympathy for them. But if they had have won that 1-0, we'd have been saying masterstroke, genius and everything like that. So it is a fine line, but we'll come on to the referee a bit later on. But injury time and the time wasting, what did you make of that?
I think they got exactly what they deserved in the end. Like Brian said earlier, I can't believe there's only 3 or 4 minutes injury time at the end of the first half.
Oh, yeah, that's amazing.
I thought it should have been 6 or 7 then. It was frustrating, but they kind of knew they were going to do it. And the thing is, because the keeper got booked, the handball outside the area. I always thought that was a straight red as well. But
yeah, we'll come on to that and the refereeing part. That was ridiculous.
Yeah, and they were never going to book him for wasting time because he'd have to send him off. It just wasn't going to happen. So they kind of knew he could get away with it. But yeah, it was a disgrace. But like I say, they got what they deserved in the end. So, and that made it even sweeter, I think.
Yeah, I mean, well, Brad, I was told that players were going down all over the place and like playing a foreign team and
I've never seen so many players get cramp in my life. You know, it's incredible. You know, and that's why when we got the winning goal and I saw Maddison on the ground, I thought he was actually taking the piss. He might have had cramp. I don't know, but, you know, and I thought, I thought good on you, sort of thing. Look, my thing on time wasting is, well, if we'd have scored, there wouldn't be time wasting. That's my initial thing on it. So when the goalkeepers are taking their time and the crowd are booing them and like we might be 1-0 down or 0-0 down, I said, what if we're 1-0 up or we scored a goal, then they wouldn't have to do it. You know, so I put it down to the actual team. But Saturday was another level.
Yeah, and my dad said it was literally from the start that they were doing it.
Oh, it was unbelievable. It was, and they even had a drinks break at one stage. You know, it was crazy. It was and the referee, there was also another thing that happened that I haven't mentioned. This is really, really weird. The ball, when we were about to take it, we took a corner a couple of times, it happened, took a corner and another ball came on the pitch and the referee had to stop play. Now, one time he stopped play when we had the ball and he stopped play, which obviously is there two balls on the pitch, you stop play, but he gave a drop ball to the goalkeeper. It's like, hang on a minute, how'd that one work? We're in possession. But anyway, I put it down to these new rules that they've come out with. And one of the rules they have is they've got the balls strategically placed all around the ground and they instruct the ball boys, when the ball goes out of play, they throw the new one in. So you've got no problems getting, you know. And what happened with the corner, then the ball came back. Now, it did look to me like it had come back from the crowd, which I thought was a bit strange in its own ground. But I think the Premier League have shot themselves in the foot in that instance, because by trying to make the game quicker, they've actually made it slower because we had two balls on the pitch. No sympathy for time wasters when you know, the, and that's it. You know, that's the one thing the referee did get right, was he gave 12 minutes extra time. Yeah. You know, at the end of the game.
Like I say, if we hadn't have scored those, it's a masterstroke from Paul Heckingbottom, and the plan played to a T by the players. It's just that fine line. But his moan afterwards, I mean, it's just a typical manager thing. And Alex Ferguson, you never call your players out in public. You blame something else.
I don't know how you follow teams like that. I really don't. I mean, we know as Spurs fans how frustrating it was, how boring we were last season or the last three seasons. I don't know how you follow a team, because you know, you might as well. The thing is, what's the point of getting promoted? You know, let's face it, if you're a Burnley, be fair to Burnley, they try and play good football. But Sheffield United probably had a ball in the Championship, you know, when they got promoted, winning games, and yeah, it's great. Well, then, and the first thing they're going to do when they come up to the Premiership is try not to get beaten and play like that. And it must be really.
But the thing is, against the weaker teams, if you're at the bottom there, your fate isn't decided by playing one of the top six sides, but it's decided by playing one of the smaller teams. And certainly that we're attacking now, they're not going to come toe-to-toe with us, because they will get picked off. And same as when they play City, and they play exactly the same as like that against City. But when they come against a Luton or a Burnley, they will try and play football.
Right, can I make a point, Chris? I don't know how you could do this in football, but in Australian rules football, they have a timekeeper. And when the ball goes out of play, or when the ball's for the time, the referee, and they have, or umpires they call them, they might have two or three umpires, puts his hand up like that for the timekeeper, and the timekeeper stops the clock. Now, you don't get it at the ground, you don't see what time, but if you watch it on TV, you see the clock counting down and it stops. So obviously, you know, you have that in rugby as well. They have a timekeeper and he stops the clock. Whether you could do that in football, then everyone knows where they are then. Yeah. Everyone knows that, there's 5 minutes to go. And another thing, actually, another good thing about the Tottenham ground now, which has only happened this season, is the actual clock does go into injury time now.
Oh, does it?
It used to stop at 90 minutes. Yeah. Now it actually goes into all the time. And we found out on Saturday, it actually clocks over to 100 as well. So,
there should be like a 15 second. You should, as soon as the ball goes out of place, you have 15 seconds for when the ball's put down to kick it out or throw it.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, there was one stage where I did see the referee doing that, you know, pointing at his watch. I don't know. Do they stop? I mean, they must have a stopwatch. They stop it. Do they have another like, you know, you get those stopwatches that you can put another time and they think, well, that ball's been out of play for a minute. So and when they come to adding injury time on, it's like, you know, a minimum of 11 minutes or whatever it might be. But
I still reckon they make it up. Just some of it used to be a few years ago. It was always, regardless of what happened in any football match, it was always 4 minutes at the end of the first half, 4 minutes at the end of the second half, 8 minutes total. Every single game, unless someone got injured and stretched off, then it.
I do agree with this directive is that as soon as the goal goes in, they stop the watch until it kicks off again. So. You don't lose any time for celebrating the goal, so which is good.
But then it comes to Nige, the refereeing performance, and performance is very generous because I'm not sure you can really call it a performance, but a few things. So, firstly, we'll talk about the time wasting. He's allowing the time wasting. You've got to stop that at source first 5 minutes or whenever they start doing it. Booking that sets the precedent. The longer you leave it, the more they're going to do it, and then yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. But like I say, because I think the keeper got booked reasonably early, it's still the first half, wasn't it? I just think as soon as he was booked, he wasn't going to give him another yellow card. I think that, that would look bad on him, even though he probably should have. I think that was never really going to happen. So,
what did you think of the handball? I thought it was a straight red, but. He wasn't actually going anywhere. I think it was Kulu. He has deliberately handballed that out of the air. What did you think about that, Nige? Straight red or correct yellow?
I thought it was a yellow, but I thought the rules were that it was a straight red. Apparently, watching Sky Sports today, they said where he was on the pitch and because Kulu didn't have control of the ball. But then they never usually have got control of the ball.
Did you watch Ref Watch this morning?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I watched it as well. I didn't watch it. I was at work. I was working from home. I was at work.
Well recovered. But yeah, what did you think, Brad? Red card, yellow card, got it right?
I think once you start, yellow card definitely. It's a free kick. If a player's on through on goal. And the referee does that, well, then, a red card. I think it's the same as anything. If you stop a goal-scoring opportunity. But that wasn't a goal-scoring opportunity. It really wasn't. So, I think, once you start giving yellow red cards for that, I think, the game's, it's gone to a place where I don't think it should go. And another thing was, if you believe what the player said, the second yellow that the Sheffield United player got was because he said, he pulled my shirt back, ref, and... Referee game was sending him off. I'm sympathetic on that respect. Then again, he might have said the referee was pulling my shirt. You blind, whatever. He might have said that. So we don't know.
I have no idea what the sending off was. I saw a few replays on Match of the Day. I still don't understand what he got sent off for. It's obviously a second yellow because he got booked earlier on. But I don't really understand what the foul was or the infringement. Not that you want to, if someone's committed a crime, don't send him off, but he's just lost the game in the last 2 seconds. And now you send him off for something that's, I still can't see what it was. Just let it go.
No, I mean, it did add to my joy a little bit, I must admit, but there wasn't really anything in it, was there? They were both putting each other's shirts.
As I understand it, it was because he questioned the decision because they've now been told to give yellow cards. For questioning the decision.
Yeah. Okay. Which it's a footballer, so it's probably likely it was what the fuck was that.
Yeah.
If it's what was that for, ref, and you're giving a yellow card for that, that's just a ridiculous directive in football and just.
Yeah, it's silly.
The Madison penalty, Brad, appeal. I only saw this on a GIF on. Twitter. It looked very soft, so to me at the time it was only literally a 5 second clip. Didn't look like a penalty. Whether he got the ball, whether he didn't, I'm not sure. They didn't show on Match of the Day, curiously, which is quite odd. Mm. But what did you make of it? I don't know. I think
when it happened, it was the other end of the pitch. So, you know, I can't honestly say whether it was a penalty or not. But when I saw that gif that you was mentioning, it does look like a penalty. But I've said about Ref Watch. As I understand it, the guy on Ref Watch was saying, you know, Dermot Gallagher, who's a referee, was saying, no, there wasn't a lot in it. Not enough in it to give a penalty. But then you look at the penalty that Brentford got when Son got involved. You know, so yeah. I don't know. I don't know. It's just one of those things, isn't it? You know, and this is where it annoys me about the VAR getting involved in penalty decisions. All the VAR does is change the decision one way or the other. So if a referee doesn't give a penalty, VAR can change it to penalty. Or if a referee does give a penalty and change it, not a penalty. I don't really get the point of that. You know, because most of the time, and full marks to the, I think it was the referee yesterday who didn't change his decision. Mm. But 9 times out of 10, the referee changes his decision. So you have a situation where you've got two refs, VAR, saying, oh, hang on, should have a look at that. I don't get the point of that. If it's clear and obvious, fine, yeah. If the referee didn't see it or whatever, and you know, then fine. But when it comes down to those little slide rule decisions, no, I just don't go with that whatsoever.
What did you make, Nige? Penalty or not?
I think Maddison made a bit of a meal of it. Mm. I think if you looked at like 4 of the angles, I think 3 of them were like, no, no way. And one of them I was like, oh, yeah, that could be a penalty. But I think maybe if Maddison had just not made as much of a meal, we may have got it. But I think it would have been a soft one, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean,
it probably would have been overturned anyway. VAR would probably would have got involved. You know, that's what I'm saying.
Well, the issue is, like you alluded to, Brad, it's next week, exactly the same thing will happen and it will be a penalty. So VAR came in, so it's not open to interpretation, but it's open to interpretation more than it's ever been. So VAR was coming and it's worse. VAR and the technology isn't the problem, because the technology is there, show all these replays, different angles, lines on the pitch. You can see if they're offside. It's the open to interpretation that's the issue. And that whole ref watch thing where they play the commentary between the referees. I saw the Man City goal, Akanji against Fulham, and just it was just like kids having an argument in the playground. It's just embarrassing. Oh, he's not interfering with him because he hasn't touched the ball. The goalkeeper thinks he is, you fool. That's why he's not dived. How can you say that's not inter? But it's people who have never played football, or certainly to any kind of level, so have no idea about what gets involved in a football match. And I think Ref Watch eventually will just anger fans even more, because their team has been done. Well, and then the referees are playing what they said, where they clearly don't have a clue about what's going on.
I think it's, well, you know, you've heard me many, many times, Chris, talk about the Lions. You know, I don't like the Lions. It's because we're being forensic about these decisions now, where you only need to look at it and say, yeah, look, he's in front of the goalkeeper. Yeah, he's got to be interfering. That's not a goal. Or if you look at, and as I said, the goal where Johnson was offside, you look at our Match of the Day, in the old days, you could argue he was level with the defender. Yeah. You know, and they're supposed to. This is what gets me about the fact, oh, we're going to make sure that we stop all the time wasting, so we get more football, because people like to see goals, and yet you might see a goal chalked off in injury time because he's 2 millimeters offside. You know, so it doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense at all.
I mean, Mark Cousins said slow motion doesn't help either.
No,
it doesn't. But one issue I have with Johnson on that disallow goal is he can see the whole pitch. Just make sure you're on side. You can see everybody. He probably, in fairness to him, has made the run and is expected. I think it was Bissouma to play the ball. So maybe it is Bissouma's ball by not seeing the run quickly enough. But I often think if you can see the whole line, you shouldn't be offside. And Johnson is quick as well. He doesn't need to be on that close, because he's got them for pace. But brilliant finish and brilliant touch. Reminded me kind of Bowen's goal against, I think it was Brighton the other week. Brilliant touch and then the finish.
Yeah, I remember that goal,
I'm quite excited about Johnson. And certainly Nige shows no let up in any confidence at all.
No, he looks, in the 10 minutes he got, he looked really exciting. And again, I don't really want to take Kulu's place, but he's, again, he's a good option. No, he's quick. He can finish. And he's young. I just love the fact we got a young team now, and they all look like they want to play in this, you know, they're just exciting times ahead, I think.
Yeah, I think it's the old Johnson
cliche, isn't it? They're hungry. They're young and hungry.
Yeah, it's true.
I think Johnson Bad could be really, really good when we're teams are chasing it against us when we're 1-0 up or whatever at the end, or we're chasing the game, they're tired because of his pace. And he'll be direct, won't he, Wes? Kulu tries to check in and check back occasionally. He'll go on the outside. Johnson, I think, will just run at people and just speak to any defender. And you've heard it on punditry for years and years and years. Defenders do not like pace, and they do not like pace running at them. And
he played a striker, didn't he, for Wales? So he can obviously play all across that front line. So
yeah, I'm quite excited about him.
Mm.
But yeah, now the enemy. And then Liverpool.
Well, I've got to go now, Chris.
But Nige, Arsenal and then Liverpool. Liverpool's at home, so I'd expect us to do quite well there. But two teams who are going to attack us, these aren't going to sit back. And I think, like we've rightly said, I think everyone said it, what we've played so far, maybe Brentford aside, because it was the first game of the season in the new system, we should be winning these games. These two games, I think, are going to show us kind of what Tottenham we have this season, whether we're to be spoken about in glowing conversations and serious conversations, or if it is like Ange says, we do need another couple of windows.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think as a fan base, what we've not got to do is if we do lose the two games, which we could, is not to go mental and start calling for the manager's head and that kind of thing. Is Arsenal, we never win at Arsenal anyway. So if we get a point now, I'd be chuffed to bits.
How do you think it will pan out? Because I think Ange will get them so fired up. Derbies in general, I think, are all about who wants it more. You get the occasional one where it goes to form. Last year, we weren't up for any of them at all, and Arsenal destroyed us. That White Hart Lane game in Conte's first full season, we were so up for that and we absolutely battered them. We were up for that. The fans were up for that. Everyone gelled and we absolutely killed them. Last year, no one was up for it. The players weren't up for it and it just felt really flat and it was very easy for Arsenal in the end. This season, I think Ange will get them so fired up and I think we could spring a surprise. I'm not sure if we can win, but I don't think we'll lose.
I don't think we'll lose either. I think we'll get a draw. But yeah, how can you not fail to get up for a North London derby? I mean, the last couple of years we've been to the Emirates, we've kind of rolled over and let them tickle our belly. So we owe them one, I think. You know, their fans are starting to get a bit ahead in themselves. They finished ahead of us once in like the last 9 years, and you know, so I think we owe them one.
Do you think, Brad, it'll be a case of Arsenal? This is Spurs. We've beaten them all the time. We'll win this one easy. And then there'll be a bit of complacency there, end.
What I've noticed about Arsenal, when I've seen their home game, certainly the Man United game this season, is that they're really up for it. Their fans are up for it for about those first 15, 20 minutes. And if it's not going well for them, then it gets quiet. And I think if we can hold them at bay for the first 15, 20 minutes and just put out that you know, that fire, thing that they have, then I think it's an even game. Then I think we've got a good chance. The other point I would like to make is the fact that I'm going through the team, Vicario, I don't think Porro wasn't at Spurs, was he last? Not at the Emirates game, anyway.
No.
Pedro Porro.
Van der Ven.
Van der Ven.
Udogi.
Madison. Basuma wasn't playing in those days anyway.
Solomon Johnson.
We haven't got a lot of players there that have got that empty crates baggage that we've had in recent years. And we've been awful there, let's be honest. Even under Pochettino, we was awful there. Mm. You know, I think the only time I've seen us actually win comfortably was that 2-0 League Cup win. Yeah. You know, but I think if we can hold them off, because they'll come at us. The crowd will be up for it at the first 15, 20 minutes. If we can sort of hold off and then get into our stride, then I think we've got a chance. But look, it's the Emirates. I'm going to be shitting myself, you know, like most of the fans will be. You know, I'm going to be a few beers in. You know, I couldn't get tickets for it, so I'll have to watch it down the pub. Yeah, we always go into these games with that sense of foreboding because of our record there. But I'm hoping that we've got the players now that haven't got that baggage that will go there. And let's face it, I've seen Chelsea go there and win comfortably. We've seen Man City go there. We've seen Man United go there and win. We've seen Liverpool go there and win. Why not us? You know, it's doable. It's doable. But hey, look, you know, it's one of those games. I think I might put another bet, another free all draw bet on, like I did for the Brentford Tottenham game. Actually, yeah, because that's that, you know. But yeah, it's. I just hope we play really well, and if we do lose, it's not like they've basically shafted us like they have done in recent years. And also the other thing is, I'm hoping that we're not so up for it that we make mistakes you know, and get bookings and send offs and that sort of thing, which teams tend to do. I mean, Arsenal did it at our ground in that 3-0 win that we had, and we did it at their ground. So,
I don't think that was a case of them being up for it. I think that was them just completely shell shocked by making mistakes because they didn't.
I think the thing I noticed about Saturday was, we were very calm. We never panicked. And I got the feeling that Postecoglou, we get them fired up, but I think he'll get them to be calm about the game and to take the game as it comes and not try and win the game in the first 10 minutes, which is what normally happens in these sort of games. It's like, everyone goes for it.
Well, your job as the away team, and you've alluded to it in the first 15 minutes, is shut them up. You shut them up by stopping them having chances, having a couple of chances yourselves. You can get a goal, early goal, absolutely fantastic.
Because, I mean... a couple of times yesterday, I mean, Everton were probably one of the worst teams I've seen this season. You know, when I watched them yesterday, and Arsenal should have won by more. But when Everton actually got at them, and the very rare occasions they got at them, Arsenal looked vulnerable. So I think they say attacking is the best form of defence. I think in this case it is, because they're good attacking, we're good attacking. So let's make sure that we do more attacking than they do. But yeah, I'm getting nervous now.
They've got a Champions League game as well, haven't they, midweek? So
yeah. That could be,
maybe Saka gets injured and Odegaard.
I was hoping it would be an away game so they'd have travel as well, but they're at home at PSV. How do you think we'll cope, Nige, with two teams now who will attack us at will? It won't be... I mean, they might counter-attack us, but I can't really see it. I can't see Liverpool ever playing counter-attacking football. And really, at home, Arsenal have to take the onus to us. But how do you think we'll cope with the kind of change of mentality of the teams that we're playing?
I think that's going to be the interesting thing, is seeing how we set up. Because Ange's come out and said he plays one way and this is the way we're going to play. So it'll be interesting to see, when we come up against an attacking team, how we actually set up. But I just don't think we've got anything to fear from either of them. Liverpool look a lot like Spurs did last season, in the way that they're really poor one half and then they get it together second half. So I don't fear either of them, but it will be interesting to see how we set up. I think we'll just play our normal game. And maybe that going behind in a few games might help us out.
Yeah, I mean, Brad... I don't think even you can put Man City in this as well. I don't think any team is infallible. They've got their weaknesses in defence and you can score goals against them and get at them. Obviously, Man City have unbelievable forward players, so you're likely to be 2-0 down before you get your first shot. But these two teams, I agree with Nige. I don't think there's anything to fear. Well, you've obviously got something to fear because they've got good players going forward. But in terms of fear that we're going to get battered or anything like that, I don't think we've got anything to fear, and I think we can get results against both of them. But how do you see us coping with it? Do you think Ange will shore us up a little bit, or do you think he'll still be gung-ho?
No, I don't think we'll change at all. I mean, everyone goes on about us playing gung-ho, but there is a bit of a method there as well. I don't think we're as gung-ho as people seem to sort of think
compared
we are.
Compared to last season, we are super gung-ho.
Well, exactly, yeah. Compared to last season, yeah. But I don't think it's... I don't think it's a reckless form of playing football. And also, you know, we defend from the front now, which is what we used to do under Pochettino. We get them in their own half and just box them in. Yeah. You know, okay.
Do you think we can box these teams in?
Well, if we, they're going to, I think there's an advantage in playing Arsenal and Liverpool where they are going to attack us, because I don't think either defence is that solid. I think you can get at Arsenal's defence, I think you can get at Liverpool's defence. So, yeah, it's going to be, I mean, it sounds a cliche, isn't it? It's going to be like, make sure we score more than they do, you know? So I don't think, I mean, I very much doubt if there's going to be two nil-nil draws, but yeah, I think, I'm confident we can score against both teams. It's just the other end where we haven't really been tested that maybe we might, you know, it's just a chance to find out how good we are. But so far, Romero and Van der Beek have played well. Porro's actually defended reasonably well in recent weeks. Udogi is phenomenal.
A revelation, isn't
it? Ricario's made some good saves. So, you know, they're doing all the right things, but you know, this is going to be the test. So it's obvious to say, Bobby. Hey Bobby, but yeah, this is going to be the big test. And look, I like Nige. I'd take a draw, except a draw from Emirates.
What would you both take in terms of points for both the games? Be happy with 2 points. I think 2 points would be okay. That means we don't lose any. Obviously, 6 points would be unbelievable, but I wouldn't be, you know, slamming my computer out the window if we didn't get 6 points. 4 points, I think, would be superb. A draw and 3 points. 3 points, you know, a win and a loss wouldn't be that bad. Obviously, it would just be preferable if we got the 3 points against Arsenal, because you don't want to be losing against Arsenal. But what kind of points, start with you, Brad? What kind of points would you be happy with here?
I'd love 4 points. I mean, obviously, I'd rather 6 points.
Yeah,
but I'd be happy with, if you offered me 4 points now. If you offered me a draw at the Emirates and beat Liverpool at home, I'd snap your arm off. I really would. Yeah. I think Liverpool, we owe Liverpool one. We haven't beaten them for such a long time, and they've been in trouble in a few games this season, and have got the win. Look at Newcastle; they managed to get a win there with 10 men.
I don't really know how they got that, but
yeah, they managed to get the win at Wolves. You know, so they're you know, hopefully they're due for a loss when we play them, and we're at home with the crowd behind us. I mean, I draw at the Emirates and beat Liverpool, win at the Emirates and draw at home to Liverpool. I'll take that as well, you know. But the point about 3 points, that's an interesting one. That's an interesting one. I guess statistically, 3 points from those two games is pretty good. But yeah, it means you've got to lose to one of them.
And what about you, Nigel? Bobby K has said a draw. You lot are so negative. 6 points incoming, 7 goals for, 2 against.
That's the spirit, Bobby.
Love the positivity, Bobby. Love the positivity. But back on Earth, Nige, what do you think?
I mean, I'd take 2. That sounds really negative. Sorry, Bobby.
Bobby will be having a go at you in a second. He's just typing.
I think we can get 4. I think a draw at the Emirates. I think Liverpool are there for the taking. I think their midfield is still getting to grips with each other. I think, I think Liverpool are there to be beaten. I think Arsenal are as well, but because of our record, I would take a draw.
I mean, it's not beyond the realms of possibility, 6 points. Choo-choo on the Ange train. It's not beyond the realms of possibility, 6 points, but...
We're good enough. It's certainly good enough.
Told you, Nigel, he wasn't happy. Boot this guy. He's joking, of course. Yeah, 6 points isn't beyond the realms of possibility, but I mean, I'd love to remain undefeated after these two games, but if we can get anywhere north of 3 points, 4 points or more, I think that would be absolutely fantastic return on them two games. I mean, yeah, Brad, if we do get a 4 over 6 points, do you think they'll start talking about us in title contention stuff? At the moment, it's just under the radar, which is fantastic for us. But if we do beat Arsenal and beat Liverpool, or get a draw against one and beat the other one, do you think there'll start being talks in the media and everything going, maybe Tottenham
will have
a dark horse?
we'll start talking about title. No, I think at the moment, I'm sorry, but at the moment, Man City look to me to be quite untouchable. Yeah. You know, they've won their first 5 games. Reasonably, I mean,
that Fulham game, if that goal doesn't go in, Fulham have got something to play for, so you never know. That goal goes in, Fulham gets shell shocked and then capitulate.
But they, you know, I think Man City. If, look,
we can beat. Any less is a failure. Cheers, Mark. I love the positivity.
Well, no, to be fair,
it's true.
The talk at Tottenham, the training at Tottenham, and it will be about winning both games. Our team's going there to win games. You know, they're going there to draw. So you know, if we're going to be confident of winning both games, then yeah, why not us as supporters? But yeah, I guess it's because we've been here many, many times and we've still got the scars. I certainly have got the scars. And actually, it's really funny. Like, this is our best start since 1965-66 season, which is absolutely incredible. If you look at that, if you think it in those sort of terms. But I do remember a few years ago, I can't remember what season it was, we actually did win our first four games. I think Teddy Sheringham was playing for us. That's how long ago it was. And then we had four games that we should have won. And then we came up against, I think, Arsenal and Chelsea. It might have even been Chelsea and Man United, but it's two really big games, and we lost both of them. So it's maybe, as I said, on Saturday at 97 minutes, maybe things will be different, and they were. Maybe things will be different, but it's going to be difficult not to be. If we lose, we shouldn't be too down about it if we play the right way, because it's going to eventually tick, eventually click.
It's all about playing the right way, isn't it? It's all about what all the fans said this year is all about playing good football again. Yeah. And now we've won a couple of games. We're like, oh, I'm on the Cooper train, you know, like the doubles on.
It's not beyond the realms of possibility, Nige, that we could get 6 points. Also, not beyond the realms of possibility that we could get 0 or 1. If we do get a 0 or 1, will there be talk of, this is Spurs. No.
You know what it'd be? It'd be 6 points and then we go to Luton and lose away.
Well, generally, I think Luton, as much as they're being battered, I think they'll beat one of the big boys at home. You know, I think they'll go down fairly easily, but I think they'll have something there that they'll remember for a long time, that beating one of the big boys. So a typical Spurs fan, been too long. I am worried about the Luton game.
Yeah. We could play brilliantly against Arsenal and brilliantly against Liverpool and lose both games 3-2. You know,
Chris, Bobby K. Bobby K, if you want to take over the show because I've been kicked off, that's absolutely fine. But also, let's not get too ahead of ourselves. Long way to go before we can celebrate the double.
It's just nice to be winning games of football, really.
And to be positive about going into games last year.
Yeah.
God, we're going to get killed here. But there's a positivity around the place now.
Mm. We didn't even want to watch a game last season, did you? It's just like, oh, Spurs, I'll watch it, I guess. And now you just can't wait for Saturday.
No. Well, I shared a season ticket with two, my dad and his friend, and last year it was like, oh, Christ, it's my game. I've got to go. Which now is, I'll get some attacking football, but. Yeah, I mean, and just so you don't feel left out, Brad. Boot Brad. And we might as well boot ourselves off as well, all of three of us off, because that's pretty much it now. You'll be pleased to know, Bobby, no more negativity talk, because we've pretty much finished. Thank you, everybody, for watching. Please hit the like, subscribe, notification bell really helps. Get your comments in as well if you're watching on the replay, and if you're watching and listening to the podcast, thank you so much for listening. Chris's Magic side channel as well, Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. UK time. Not sure if there will be one this week because a little bit busy. But check that out. And Blue Sofa Songs, Brad Matthews' channel. It's in the description, as well as Nige's and both their Twitter handles. What can people expect?
Well, as you may or may not know, I'm an aspiring songwriter, so I try and put out a song. Now I'm working, I try and put out a song every month. There's one due out this Friday. Basically, I write the songs, I write the lyrics, I play the guitar, the bass, I play the keyboards, I do the vocals, I do the back, I do everything basically. It's just really how I see the world, I guess, and I try and make the songs not good songs. Some work, some don't. I'm my own worst critic. But please go to Blue Sofa Songs, have a look, do all the great things like, subscribe, really helps the channel. Hit the notification bell if you want. And also subscribe to, and I always get this wrong, Chris's channel. Try and work out how he does these magic tricks. And follow Nige on Coys, Pure Coys.
Absolutely. Yeah. Make sure you check out Blue Sofa Songs. Brilliant channel. Brilliant songs. Brilliant videos. A lot of videos now for you to like and watch. And Nige. Nige Pure Coys over on Twitter. Not Twitter. YouTube. I'm sure you are on Twitter as well. But YouTube. Shorts on there at the moment. What can people expect on your show?
I'm mainly on TikTok at the moment. I have got a YouTube channel. I've got one massive subscriber, and that's my son. So, you know, get over there and give me 3 or 4. That'd be great.
Yeah.
I don't really do a lot on there at the moment, but it's more TikTok.
Okay. Yeah, and it's Nige Pure Coys on TikTok as well. So make sure you get over there as well. And, Bobby K has left because this is so toxic.
Bobby K still listening. There's some breaking news about... Canada says the Indian government could be behind the fatal shooting of Canadian Sikh leader Hardeep Singh in June. There you go, Bobby. Bit of breaking news from Canada for you.
Well, then we'll end. Yeah, and Nige, channel's name on YouTube, just for Bobby.
It is Nige Pure Coys.
Yeah, make sure you check that out as well, and on TikTok as well, and follow him on Twitter as well. And be back on Friday for the Friday lunch hour. It's a preview. I cannot believe as well, I'm actually on holiday next Monday, so there will be no show talking about the Arsenal game. I mean, that could be a good thing if we do get battered, but it will be a terrible thing because we'll end up winning, won't we? And then I won't be able to talk about it apart from 1 minute short video.
Yeah, and you'll never do a show again, Bobby.
But yeah, Friday will be a big preview about the Arsenal game. It's obviously one of our biggest games of the season. And if we can win that and really shut some people up and maybe people start taking us seriously, hopefully not too seriously, because I quite like the fact that we're under the radar. No one's really talking about us, but be nice to get one over on Arsenal. The amount of, I think the last time we won there in the league was Cabool's last minute goal, which God knows when that was, early 2000s. But it would be lovely to get one over on them as well and shut them up. But that'll be on Friday. Make sure you check out all of these channels. Make sure you check them out, and TikTok as well, Twitter and everything. And as always, we can say this with a much more enthusiasm now as opposed to the dreary way we said it last season. Come on, you Spurs.
Thanks so much for watching. For everybody who joined in the live chat and added comments, before you go, please leave a like and hit the subscribe button if you haven't already. Also, please hit that notification bell. That'll give you a notification every time we're about to go live, and it's all completely free. For those who missed the live show, you can catch this whenever you want on Let's Talk Tottenham's YouTube channel. Please also hit the like, subscribe and notification bell. And everybody, please leave feedback, comments, suggestions in the comments section on the YouTube videos. For those of you who listen to the audio podcast, thank you so much for listening. Anyone who wants that audio podcast, you can pick that up wherever you get your podcast from. We're back Mondays, 7:30 p.m. UK time, and Fridays, 12:30 p.m. UK time. Alternatively, if you go to Twitter, at Let's Talk Tottenham, Instagram, Let's Talk Tottenham Podcast, you can find all the information there. Anyone who wants something a little bit different, I also do a magic show. So I do one trick a week, which drops Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. UK time. Chris's Magic on YouTube is where you'll find that. But in the meantime, come on, you Spurs.